Sports Line with Brett Hollander.
WBAL News Radio 1090.
Hour number two. Thank you so much for being with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Very excited about the next few segments here, combining two of my favorite things: horse racing in Maryland and great documentary filmmaking. And that's what we have to talk about right now. In studio, a couple of filmmakers. Dave Perkins is with us. Dave, how are you?
Drew.
Oh, Drew. Sorry, my fault. I wrote that down wrong. And Nick Carter.
That's me.
And gentlemen, you've come up with a new film debuting tomorrow night at the Center Theater called Racing Time, and then it will air on MPT at 9 o'clock on Friday. And first, tell me the basic premise of this documentary.
Well, I think, you know, we've been in production for a year and a half, and the premise is to tell the rich history of Maryland's horse racing, which goes back 300-plus years, and so we go back to colonial days, tell about the first races, and carry the story all the way through to what's happening today. So it's a long, you know, kind of amazing story, which we've put together for the first time. I don't think anybody's ever done anything like this before.
And you're saying you were on it for about a year and a half, and that's a long time to put together a film. And this is, and I do want to get into some of the nitty-gritty of how this thing came together. You were telling me during the last break, obviously for the first couple of hundred years plus of racing in Maryland, there is no video. You're doing a film. How did you guys put that together?
Well, yeah, I mean, plenty of reenactments to start. I mean, as Drew was saying, the first couple of hundred years, we had nothing to go on. So we had to use our resources. Luckily, we're local lads, and we know a lot of people in the industry, and we were pretty reliant on getting these horses and being able to go to such places like Country Life Farm, Maryland Farm, and using those facilities and, you know, Hollywooding it up and putting something together. And,
what do you mean by Hollywooding it up?
Well, like when one of the scenes that I think Nick's talking about, we did in the 1930s, there were as many as six or seven horse tracks all over the state of Maryland. And if you wanted a good entertainment in the 1930s, well, you and your family probably packed a picnic basket and went to a horse race. And so we had to go down and create, you know, a day in the life of a 1930s horse race. So now the tracks have the great PVC pipes all around it. So we had to put the wooden up and kind of make it look Hollywood.
Really?
So we did to make sure it's accurate. A lot of fun, though. I mean, the horses are the same and bring in a lot of reenactors and so forth.
Yeah, they don't change.
Yeah,
I think our modern athletes may change a little more, but those thoroughbreds don't change a whole lot. Nick, listening to you, where are you from originally?
Originally from England.
And you are a rider by trade, right?
It was, yeah. I rode for 10 years in England, and that's what brought me to America. Rode for a couple of years here, decided I wanted to get into the film business, stumbled across Drew here, and this is the thing we've done together.
So. You and Gary Stevens have made the same transition. Yeah. Gary made it back to... being an actual rider, but you were in steeplechasing, which has a proud tradition in Maryland and in Europe and the UK. Mm-hmm. And is that a part of this film at all, the steeplechasing component?
No, it's not a part of it. Drew actually did a movie called Thundering Hooves about seven or eight years ago.
Yeah.
So we have touched on that, but there was just so much to bring into this movie, 300 plus years of flat racing, and we've crammed it all into to an hour and a half. And so we just didn't have the opportunity to do that. But it's a great sport. It's a great piece of Maryland. Very proud of it. That was a part of the steeplechasing, but moving on to different things now.
Drew, how far back does steeplechasing go in the state of Maryland?
Well, steeplechasing goes back, I think, mid-1600s, one of the Lord Baltimore's brought over a pack of hounds, which is where steeplechase is starting. Basically, you're hunting, fox hunting. And that's the jumping. So the steeplechasing goes back a long time. But even the flat track racing, which, Racing the Time is about that. I mean, the first official race in the United States was in Annapolis in 1743.
Wow. So the first flatline organized horse race was in Annapolis. Do we know any more details about the track or
what the event was? What we do know is that the Maryland Jockey Club is the oldest sporting organization in America.
That's amazing.
And people don't realize that. And it started also that same year. So, it has a great tradition like that. And it's been, and it's still around today and goes on. I mean, it's the first thoroughbred horses that were bred in North America were in Maryland. Most people don't realize that either. And so it's an incredibly rich history. It's a great heritage. The horse tradition in Maryland is old as the Waterman, but, you know, it's still around. It's endured the time.
It has endured, and we were talking about that a lot in the first hour. I do want to ask you about your assessment of the future of the Preakness Stakes in Pimlico, and you guys seem to be, like me, nostalgic. I mean, that's what a lot of documentary filmmaking is, and certainly a traditionalist, I guess, is the best way to put it also. But before we get into that, I want to talk more about the origins of the Preakness, this being Preakness Week here, number 140 coming up. Tell me about the first Preakness Stakes and how it began and how we got here.
Well, it began with Governor Bowie, who was up in New York at a horse race, and they were out to dinner, and it's pretty well documented that evening, and they talked about, well, we should start a dinner stakes race based on our night tonight. And Bowie stands up with no money, just guts and glory, and says, you know what, let's have that race in Maryland. I'll build a track to have it, and I will do it before you know it. And he did it, and that happened in 1870. And the first dinner stakes horse that won it was a horse named Preakness. And that's where, and then after that happened, 2 or 3 years later, they decide that, well, we will name it after the first dinner stakes winner, Preakness, and that's how we got the Preakness.
That is very interesting. I knew Preakness was the first winner. What about Pimlico Racecourse and its origins being, what, the second oldest track in America?
Yes, it is, in fact, and it began at that dinner, because at that point...
That was the track that Governor Bowie was
going to build. That was the track that he built. And, that, you know, there were some races going on out at Pimlico and so forth, but he didn't really... He basically said, I'm going to build a gorgeous track, we're going to have it in Maryland, and he did. And that became, you know, Pimlico Racetrack, which is still there today.
And Pimlico, for most of its history, and this is a question, was it considered to be an elite venue for horse racing? Was it considered to be high-end for most of its time?
Oh, yeah. It was certainly a legitimate stopping place between, you know, Kentucky and New York. And Maryland was at the forefront of all that. And all the great match races, Seabiscuit and War Admiral. In 1877, they had another match race where the Congress of the United States actually shut the doors down, and they chartered a train. Imagine the Congress today getting long enough to get on the same train. And they basically put up a "We're Gone Fishing" sign, and they came to Pimlico and watched a great, great match race in 1877 and basically shut the government down to do it. So Pimlico's had a long, rich history.
Amazing stuff. We are talking to Drew Perkins and Nick Carter about their new film called Racing Time, about the history of horse racing in Maryland. It's debuting tomorrow night at the Senator Theater, but can people still go, guys?
You know, we have, at this point, approaching 800 people attending.
Wow.
So we're pretty fired up about that. But I do think you probably can contact the Senator Theater. I think there's a little bit of room, because we're kind of going over into the smaller theaters, going to air the same thing. So it's all good, but we're almost 800 people.
I know major motion pictures that haven't gotten 800 people in for their actual debut opening nights. And I mean, like, actual major Hollywood productions that decided to open up at the Senator with any local ties. So that's really impressive. Then again, it airs at 9 p.m. on MPT on Friday night. We'll come back much more with Drew Perkins and Nick Carter about Racing Times here on WBAL News Radio 1090.